Oops. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Robert.
Okay, well, this is Thursday, the 24th of August, 2017, and this is the Healthy Healing Call. Welcome.
Yes, welcome, everybody. And so much goes on that we forget about time and how exciting life can be. And this is the time, I think we talked last, we did talk last week about water, and I've learned another whole thing that, of course, I haven't sent to Robert because I haven't even been home this week to send to Robert. And it was a gentleman that was on TED, and he went even into smaller particles of water. I mean, it was fascinating. And he was quite articulate about it. I'll send it to Robert, and, or maybe I did send it to you, Robert, to have you put it on the website, because I thought it was so fascinating because he called it e-water. And I thought that was really, really good. But what I would, looking for while I'm chatting away is the salt debate that I said we could probably talk about tonight. Now, Robert and Jan and anybody else, what do you know about salt and how it helps you or doesn't help you? Do you know anything about that?
Say again, what's it called?
I do not.
It's, whether or not you know anything about salt and how it helps your diet, how it doesn't help your diet, what's good about it, what's bad about it.
Can't live without it.
I don't know anything about it.
Okay, that's one who doesn't know anything about it, and you're saying you can't live without it. Well,
maybe Jan knows.
Well, no. Jan just said you can't live without it. Well, and that's a lot between your spectrum of not know anything to we can't live without it is the spectrum of knowledge for most of us. We don't know anything about salt. And one of the things that turned the environment in India under Mahatma Gandhi was salt, because they could manufacture salt, and salt was a very big thing that the British liked. And they manipulated the British out of India by not giving them the salt. So it's a very interesting thing that it was actually a form of commerce. Well, for us here in the States, we don't think much about salt. We've got the salt flats. We've got the salt and sea in California. We have the outside of Salt Lake City, you have Salt Lake. Why are there so much salt stuff? And there's really no water on it. I mean, yeah, there's a little bit of water at Salt Lake, but it's briny, it's icky. I've never touched my foot in it because it just didn't seem very happy. But when you're in the ocean, you're surrounded by salt water. And we've been told, don't drink salt water from the ocean and stuff. It'll make you very thirsty. Well, that's another part of information we don't know. But they are desalinating water, so there's more water. You see how it goes back and forth. And but this debate that's going on, this guy's first line is salt good or bad? Is it something we should even worry about? Health authorities tell us to consume less sodium. That's salt. That's Na, what is it, NaH2? I can't remember the NaCl, HCl. Hydrochloric acid is HCl, so NaCl, right? Okay, thanks, Jan. I always need the backup because that was so long ago when I studied the chemistry of stuff. So on the other hand, we read contradicting statements on the Internet and newspapers. For example, the problem with salt is the refining process, but Himalayan or Celtic sea salt is healthy. Or another one is, practices such as drinking salt water are very beneficial. We've also been misled by health authorities, and salt is actually good for us and essential to health. However, that goes on, and what is the truth behind it? And through this article, it is defining the natural, this one group is called the natural hygiene. And they say that salt is harmless or essential to life, but it's a philosophy. It's really, what do you believe and how is it for your body? Again, it's going to get back to that basic line of knowledge. Who are you and who do you want to be? I know most of us may be pushing the maturity age or we're still young. It doesn't matter. You've got to know who you are and what your body is. And it's not what the doctors are going to tell you, because you got to look at the source. If the doctor is wanting a new car, you're sick. All right? Does that make sense? Because he needs to pay for that new car. So it's important you know your body, not let someone else know your body. And that's in the medical field, my American Murderers Association. But this article is so interesting insofar as people and how salt has affected them over the years. Many people cannot have salt in their diet. And this writer especially said he discontinued taking salt back in the teens of the 1900s. About 1912, he said, I gave up the use of salt. Up to that time, I've been a heavy user of salt. At first, I missed it from my foods. After a time, I did not relish foods in which I could detect the taste of salt. I enjoy the fine, delicate flavors of food much more than I ever enjoyed the flavor of salt. I have never missed salt after the first weeks after giving it up. I have never had a craving for it. My health has not suffered in any manner from the lack of it. When you go to a party, have you ever noticed how you eat a lot of chips and then you want a sweet drink or some sugar cookie or a sugar candy? It means that you've had too much salt. Salt and sugar are the odd ends of the pendulum. You've heard about the pendulum swings. You've heard about pendulum swings about people's moods and pendulum swings about people's weight and stuff like that. All of that actually has a great bearing on your salt intake and your sugar intake. If you're having a lot of salt, your body needs sugar to balance the salt. Now, what have these clever cooking companies, these candy companies, and these all these food companies done to the food? They've laced them with salt. You've heard of the line, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink unless you put salt in the oat. The salt makes them thirsty. The salt makes them crave something sweet. For an animal, it's water. For a person, a man or a woman, it is going to be sugar. And we have a huge obesity problem in this country. I don't even know how the other countries are, but we have a huge obesity problem in this country. I mean, they have changed the makes and styles of clothes to fit the bigger body. When I was a kid, I was a tall, skinny female. And I used to have to go to Lane Bryant's. Lane Bryant's is a very good department store, but they had clothes for big women. Now, I would go in and try a dress on. It would look like a sack, because it was big. I am a very slender body, and none of the clothes ever fit. I wore men's pants sometimes because they're the only ones that would fit me because of my long legs. I would wear the sweatshirts of my brothers because they fit me because they were slender and they were more my size. So I had to kind of work my way around to where there was clothes that I could do. And I finally found a tall shop, and I wore a size 7. I was 6 feet tall. I wore a 7 or even a 5 because clothes fit differently then, and big was medium size today. Big today is really so unhealthy for those people that are big. And a lot of it, if they stop taking the salt, it would bring down their blood pressure because most high blood pressure is caused from too much salt. And the first thing that people get taken off when they are having high blood pressure is salt. However, your ketchup has salt, your mustard has salt, your piccalilli has salt. Every condiment has salt. There's salt in your butter. There's salt in everything you eat. You're not away from salt. So it's a very difficult thing probably to have a fully salt-free diet. I do not use salt in anything. I do not put it in my food. I do not, when I'm in a restaurant or at someone's home, I do not use salt on my food because I know the food is laced with salt. I do not need extra salt. I have two fangs that hang down in my mouth. They are sweet tooth. And the sweet tooth is because there is too much salt in my body from just not using salt, but having it in your food. And I have a big sugar sweet tooth. And I have to watch that very much. I mean, like coming home today, from the school, I'm going to school up in Charlotte, and I'm coming home, and they left out Cheez-Its and a couple of cookies left over from lunch. I grabbed 2 bags of Cheez-Its and 2 cookies. I had 1 bag of Cheez-Its, and I had 1 cookie. There's my pendulum. I know what I'm doing, so I know how it affects me. So I only did 1 of each on the way home. It's a 2.5 hour. I mean, it's an hour and a half to 2 hour ride home. So it takes care of my dinner hunger. And I just got home, and it was about 5 to 8. By the time I got home, we got the dogs done and had a dog fight and all the other stuff that goes with having a dog. They're just little dogs. And so this is what happens when they're hungry and they're tired and they want to see mama, and that's just what happens with kids as well as animals. But the salt that I had on the way home quelled my diet, quelled my hunger, and made my getting home safe. Okay. But now I have to kind of wash all that salt out of my body because it does keep me kind of strong. And maybe you have to look at what you're eating. How much salt are you taking? That's potato chips, Cheez-Its, fish, a little of fish, goldfish things. Those are all salty. Cookies have salt in them. Every canned cakes and little sweet things all have salt in them, whether you think they do or not. It's amazing where salt is done in your food, and it makes a difference in how hungry you are, what your cravings are, how much you're affected by not having them in your body. It's an addiction. Are they going to make a 12-step out of salt-free? No, because it's not a disease. It's not an illness. It is not something they consciously want you to be aware of. Now, it goes on that salt in many of the different countries and nationalities are not, they do not use salt, except there's one, a particular tribe that's in, looking for it now, for that lives out in the ocean, but it's a tribe that cooks their fish in seawater. Oh, what's seawater? What do we say seawater was full of? Salt. It's surrounded with salt. And so they cook the fish and their sweet potatoes in seawater. Well, us at home here, we cook our sweet potatoes in fresh water or our tap water, give or take being fresh, or anything else, and we cook the fish in either an oil or a butter or something like that, not in a water base. So you see how you use and how you cook affects what your intake of salt is. Now, here are some salt skeptic remarks. It would take too long to go through all the arguments of salt skeptics, but basically we can point out a few things. One, some studies have shown that people consuming less salt are living shorter. I don't know if it means shorter lives or shorter bodies, so I don't know. So he has an explanation. This is due to a problem called reverse causation. In Western societies, the only people that tend to cut out sodium are those suffering from major illness. Therefore, it is normal to find an association between illness and low salt intake. In a few cases, a low sodium diet can be deadly for people with serious heart failure taking drugs that flush out their sodium reserves. Explanation. Those are rare cases and can extend to the rest of the population. Third, many have raised doubts about the famous InterSalt study, which initially did not find a significant link between blood pressure and sodium. Explanation. The results were reversed in 1996 after the authors had realized they had not corrected the numbers for a regression dilution problem. Salt intake was then found to strongly correlate with blood pressure. Are you listening to that? How many people have high blood pressure today? Look around your family. I have a friend. She has high blood pressure. Four, many of those studies are flawed and paid for by the salt industry. Dr. Greger has an interesting series of videos on this salt controversy. Check it out. Dr. Greger is someone he talked about earlier and about the different studies he had done. And you probably can Google that. And Greger is spelled G-R-E-G-A-R. Looking for anything that he had said earlier without reading this whole article. Let me correct. Yeah, G-R-E-G-E-R. And he has some videos. They may be on the YouTube. Another one, heavily controlled and rigorous human trials have showed that she yells when she itches. Lowering sodium to 1,600 milligrams a day significantly reduces blood pressure. Because some people don't react to sodium restriction, the average drop can appear small. But remember that every 1-point drop in systolic blood pressure leads to a 1% reduction in overall death. So it does correlate. I had two ladies. One was one of my teachers, and one was the clerk for the department. And both of them were talking about this diet they were on. And I may have mentioned it last week. And they kind of whispered the word Atkins diet. And I said to myself, Atkins? He died of obesity. So they chattered back and forth, and they were both finding they were having high blood pressure. And the one I think I did mention last week, her mouth was sore because she was eating pork rinds. Now, I've never eaten pork rinds, but I've seen them, and they look like brittle bricks. And her mouth was very sore. And I told them about Atkins. I visited when I lived there in Los Angeles. And he died of obesity. And that they're still pushing a diet that's high in sodium is really unconscionable in today's health appreciation. So remember, the salt and processed food industries need salt to stay alive. They will put out research. Sophie, they will put out research to try to confuse the public about salt. Where have we ever heard that the food industry would try and confuse the public? Okay, meanwhile, the scientific consensus is clear. Too much salt is deadly. It's salt paleo. Vegans love salt, but so do paleo bloggers. They seem strange. Okay, this seems strange. Salt is definitely an ingredient that was never part of our ancestral diet. And that is a proven fact. There was a fellow back in the 1600s, I believe it was about mid-1600, he was found to be 106 years old. He had lived on his own farm food. He had, I think he was what they would call in those days a vegetarian. And they brought him to the king of at that time and were celebrating how wonderfully and healthy he was at 100.
Sophie.
Oh, she's really starting to. And he was there only maybe a month, and he died. Why do you think he died in a month when he lived with the king? The king ate beef, potatoes, heavy mutton, heavy food, heavy everything. And this is a man who lived on vegetables and fruit. And you do that rich of a diet, you will kill them. And that's exactly what happened. They don't realize it. I don't know how many of you have read the book Shogun. The gentleman that was learning basically to be Shogun had been living with the Japanese, had been living on rice and vegetables and very little, if anything, no meat but fish. Very, very light diet. And he sees his buddy's ship, and he goes out onto the British ship, and he eats a full mutton meal and the vegetables and the potatoes. He was so sick because the body can't take that food. It's full of salt because they had to. They always soaked the meat and kept it in a salt brine so it wouldn't rot. So, I mean, it was heavy with salt, but it was also too rich. So you have to, for your body's sake, look at what you're eating. Is it a salty food? Is it going to harm my blood pressure or make it better? You're the only one living in your body, and you've got to learn to listen to it. If you're having heart palpitations, then you're having too much of something that's creating that anxiety. And I got to tell you, with all the stuff that's going on around us, with all the pressure that's being put on the people, it's purposely being done, as you know. And so you're the only one that can make you calm down. So you watch what you put in your body. Too much sweets. Too much breads, which are your carbs, breads, cookies, cakes, etc., are very harmful for you. I would love to eat that other cookie and that other bag of Cheez-Its, but I'm going to keep it till tomorrow because tomorrow my body might be able to handle it okay. Right now, it'll put me to sleep because I've really worked in the last 3 months to get myself off of breads, cakes, cookies, Cheez-Its, Goldfish. But if I get it maybe once a week or once every, a month, it's not going to hurt me. But every day, it'll put me under. And it's even, I've learned that it even affects my hearing. My hearing in my left ear has depreciated, so that's why I'm doing the no carbs, no cakes, no cookies, and all that kind of sugar and intake that are bad for my body. So listen to your body. Find out what it really wants. You know how kids say, I don't want those green beans. At that time, their body doesn't want the green beans. There are a lot of other green vegetables. So there's choices. Give them another choice. Cook a different choice. So you're the one in charge of your body. And always with your body, if you're not really asking, does this work or doesn't it work, you're going to be harming your body. Now, that brings up the question, how do you ask your body? Well, how many of you have ever watched or seen or had it done to you, kinetic measuring? That's kinetic, where you put your arm out and someone say your name and you stay strong, say someone else's name and you go weak. That's kinetic measuring. Well, you can do it with food without anybody there. Just hold the food up next to your liver, like a bottle. Even you can do this with your medicine, what do you call it? The vitamins and stuff. Hold those up to where your liver is. Where's your liver? On the right side, above the hip. So put it right there and put your arm over it to hold it in place, and then put your thumb and index finger, you know, the pointy finger, you say, look over there. Take that finger and touch it to your thumb. Then take your other hand and do the same pointy finger and thumb, but interlace it with the other one so that you've got a kind of like a figure eight there or an infinity sign, if you want to put it that way. And then you've got the vitamins or the food or you're thinking of it. You can do this mentally as well as with the physical thing. So if you're thinking of green beans, for instance, is this good for me? And you pull. And if it breaks, it may be a no, it may be a yes. How do you know which is no and which is yes? Go back to the name thing. Ask yourself, is this wondering? And I'll pull, and if it holds, I'm wondering. If I say, am I Johnny Smith, and it pops, that's a no. Holding may mean yes, and pop open may mean no. You need to check for you. Your body may be different. Each one of us is different. So don't take my word, it's got to pop open to be no. Nah. Your body is going to tell you. So again, it's the pointy finger, point it out at someone and then put it to your thumb. Do the same with your left hand, but have it laced through the other hand's thumb and finger so that you've got that figure eight or infinity sign. And that's your tester. And test it with, my name is, and you pull. If it holds, that is your name. If it breaks, that isn't your name. So you know what a yes is, and you know what a no is. And do that with in a store before you buy some vegetables. Put the vegetable on your liver and hold it with your arm and test it to see, is this good for me? And if it holds, then take it home. Is it bad for me and it pops? It doesn't pop. If you ask the question, is this bad, and your yes is a hold, then you know not to take it. So always feel free to check yourself. And that goes with the food in a carton, that goes with beverages, that goes with all sorts of other things that you will buy in the grocery store. Yes, it may slow you down the first time, but as you get more efficient, you'll know, you'll be able to put your hand on, is this good for me or bad for me? You'll hear it right away. Your body will tell you. It has been your doctor all your life. Now it's time to use it cognizantly, a full awareness with value for your health and your better health rather than you'll get from a doctor. Now, I'm not saying you should never use a doctor. I don't have that right to say that. If you break an arm, a leg, or in a car accident, yay, go to a doctor. They're the ones that will get you repaired very quickly. It's just that when you go into a doctor, I've got a thumbnail that's hurting, and they check you for a heart condition. Excuse me? What's a thumbnail got to do with the heart? So it's a money game. The medical field is a money game, and the pharmaceutical is a money game. All of it is how much money can we get from the suckers? Please do not be a sucker. Be a wise, cognizant man or woman that knows really how to handle and care for their body. And this is something you can teach your kids. And if you're a school teacher, it's a great thing to teach your students because they will be their own scientists. These are going to be adults later, and they may save someone's life by doing it. This is important. This is very, very valuable. And it is the same. The Hippocratic Oath is very important to know, and it's also the fact that what Hippocrates, I think is how you pronounce it, said is, how did that go? If someone can correct me on it, your food is what you, is you, and you are your food or something like that. So it's important. What you're eating is affecting your body, and what you're not eating affects your body also. The things you most need and you're not eating. I think next week we can go into beverages and not water, but the colas and the teas and the coffee because of how they affect your body and how they affect your emotional state and how they affect a great deal of what you're doing when you're taking care of yourself during the day. Because it isn't just beverages. You've got to watch what kind of beverages, and you've got to watch where they're coming from. And some of them are becoming very deadly for people. So if you have any input, please share it with us. I don't have to be the talker for the whole thing. I really would love to hear from some of you. So, Bob and Jan, has that been a little bit more information on salt and how you might want to look at what salt is doing to you?
Well, about 20 years ago, I used to raise beef cattle.
Uh-huh.
I was short on certain minerals and salt and so on, so I had salt blocks made for them. And you'd put them out in the pasture in the same spot, and they would, as needed, provide their own salt, go lick it. And if you weren't paying attention, and they ate the whole block or licked the whole block down to nothing, you'd notice there was a hole in the ground there because they would start eating the dirt under the salt block because they needed salt. And there was no longer a block, but there was some that through rain and so on, and it leached into the soil. So animals are kind of smart enough to self-regulate their salt intake.
Correct. They take what they need, not more than. That's a wonderful, wonderful teaching tool right there. And water intake.
Yep.
What was it? I read a book. I was reading a book about the Western, the pioneers as they were going west. You know, there are certain stretches where they watered up. They filled everything with water that they possibly could. They watered the cattle, the cows, or the steers, whatever they were using, oxen, to make certain they were fully watered, the horses, et cetera. And then they went off, and they knew they had so many hours to make it across a certain area. And that before they could even reach the end of it, the water was basically all gone because everybody was drinking water. I mean, the animals, you're giving it to them, and the people, et cetera. And when the animals smell the water, get out of their way, because they will get there before you because they know they have to have it. Now, a man or a woman will go without water longer than they should. Most of us are dehydrated. I hear you wanting to say something, Jan. What is it? I didn't want to mean to cut you off.
Well, an easy way to tell if you're dehydrated is to see if you've got dry, chapped lips. If you do, just drink a glass of water.
Well, and that's a good point. The other one is the hand on the back of your hand. The hand on the back of your the skin on the back of your hand. If you pull it up and it's slow and going down, I believe you are dehydrated. If it's fast, you're hydrated.
Yep. Now that animal also know where that water is. In case you don't know exactly where, just give them free rein and follow them, and they'll find it for you.
That's exactly right. And even, you know, I read so many different books, and then in these Western books, and some of them were Lewis L'Amour's books. They were very, very fascinating books. And he was he had this one gentleman that was escaping from someone, and they thought he was going to die in the desert. But what he watched was the insects. And the smallest insect, he watched and followed the small insect, and it led him right to water.
Mm-hmm.
So it's who you know or what they can do that may save your life. Because there's water all around us, actually. The air is full of water, as we talked one time before with Jan and Robert, in doing the canvas bag and so that it'll drip into a glass or a pot at the bottom of this hole that you may have dug, but it's dug. So there's a lot of water in the air, too. So it's important to tie the stuff together. Excess is no good. Minimum is sometimes no good, but it'll get you through. So, Robert, what have you learned that's helpful for what you were thinking of, Saul?
Well,
did you mute
him? I use a fair amount of salt. So,
okay.
I have fairly low blood pressure. Last check was like 120 over 70, 75. So I try
that's
and keep
great.
By sucking up some salt now and then with, lately, pita chips I find are pretty good.
Yeah. Those are good.
I do know that you need some salt, but I've always really eaten too much of it, and I've really cut back here lately. I don't use it on anything I cook anymore.
Good. How are you feeling your taste buds are acting?
Well, I know I'm still getting more salt than what I want because of my eating habits. But I know, when I do not use salt, I don't miss it.
Good. Good. That's important for people to get because you are not depriving yourself. Your body will actually thank you. by getting healthier. And as Jan, I'm low blood pressure like you, Jan, so it's never affected me, and I've not gotten obese. I don't think you're obese. I don't know, Robert, what size you are, but it's important that each of us look in the mirror, and if we're finding we're going towards the heavy side, check what you're eating, check what you're drinking, check how much of the sugar and salt combinations and the pendulum swings. You know the answer.
I'm at 200 pounds, and I'm a few pounds overweight, and so I need to lose a few pounds anyway.
Well, and this isn't a diet program. This, and remember, the first three letters are die. No, it's conscious changing of how our eating pattern is really what is the healthier way to look at things. So, and that's what this program is about. How can you be healthy and hold your own in many difficult situations? When I talked about that, what?
I know that I will lose weight because my weight came on because of being inactive during the time that I had my, you know, I just in May almost died from a total heart blockage, and I had a pacemaker put in, but I was unable to use my left arm for a long time, unable to do a lot, so I sat around a lot while I was healing. And that's where my weight came in.
And that's true. Yep. And especially when you're inactive and you're having stuff, food, beverages, et cetera, that are not your premium healthy consciousness for you. So, yep. Well, I'm glad you're better, Robert, and I'm glad you're aware that you need to, I'm echoing, so that you can get a better hold on what's going on with your body, with the weight and everything.
Well, I've always been pretty much aware of what's going on with my body.
Good.
So I've always well taken care of it. I have blood workup done all the time, and all my systems are within the normal parameters.
Excellent.
And I keep it that way.
That's exactly right. The longer you keep it that way, the healthier and the longer your life is. And that is our goal, have a longer life. Because this, I had a gentleman that worked on my car when I was out in L.A., very nice gentleman. He's the kind of guy who is a mechanic that could listen to a motor and say exactly what was wrong with it and fix it. So I mean, he was primo. But he thought, because these authorities had said, I'm shouting at you, I'm sorry, the authorities had said that at 44 he was going to die. Now, he ran a successful sand and gravel business, a paving business. He was a very successful businessman. And so he started at about 42, 43, getting rid of his businesses. And by 50, he hadn't died, but he had gotten rid of all of his businesses. So from 50 to 70, when he really finally died, he was basically a pauper. And he lived off the little bit of money that he had left and Social Security. That was it. So we cannot listen to those authorities out there that are telling you you're supposed to die at a certain age, you're only going to live so far. What is it now, the living to a ripe old age of 88 now is the new old age? Who do we have to listen to them that says 88 is the ripe old age? I met a gentleman just last week, 85 years old. He looked, I would say, easily 65. His skin was firm. He was slender, spoke very well, and dressed very well. He went swimming 3 times a week.
Yeah.
Exercise.
I'm finding out around here that these older people, men and women, in their 80s,
yep,
are still living life to the fullest, and even still having sex, and are still in the they're still in the no-no stores looking for things to make it more interesting and fun.
Good for them.
John Robert.
I started hanging out with some older people here lately, and they got to talking, and I was listening, and I was just, my God, I'm in the 70s, and I'm ready to quit.
Now, Robert, now you have something to look forward to and get off. I know that sounds wrong, too.
I thought maybe I need to change my thinking.
There you go. Well,
absolutely.
Just on that vein, there was my chiropractor's grandmother's sister, who's passed away from cancer just recently, but she was living in a senior adult community, whatever they call those things. And she said, they're like rabbits. They're in each other's houses. They have sex all over the time. And, I mean, she said it was just disgusting. I'm going, yay, good for them.
Did she get the address?
Some of these 85-year-olds around here that I've been talking to, I find that they're into doing swap parties.
Oh, that's difficult. That's difficult.
I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
It's time that we make the shift here and go over to the other call.
Okay.
Thank you for all of
and
that.
Next week we'll talk about your drinking beverages. What kind of beverages are you drinking outside of water?
All righty.
So bring some topics with you.